that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it ball for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has. And we welcome you to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers this 7th day of July 2012. We say good morning. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we have John. And boy, John, we got some static on your line. I know you're out of town, and we'll see if that'll work. So, Kyle, we're going to ask you if you'd open up in prayer this morning, if that's okay.
Okay. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning humbly, Lord, on this not-so-great anniversary of what happened a year ago. But we know it's for your purpose, Lord. You're sovereign. You decide when things live, when things die. And we don't always know why. But again, we come to you this morning humbly, and we ask you, Lord, to lead us and guide us and direct us in your ways, your thoughts. Let your spirit move upon us.
Yes.
Let us be faithful in these latter days. Let us be a blessing to you as you bless us in this troubled world. We ask you to be with all those, all the remnant out there, Lord, that are yours, and guide and direct them and protect them from the evil ones in this evil day. We ask this in the blessed holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, we welcome you again. It's sure good to be back here in Laramie and joining you guys for coffee. And good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. We are under a flash flood watch now. We've gone from fires to floods, but we'll sure plan on being at church tomorrow as well. And we had a good half inch of rain two nights ago on this fire here in Laramie. And last night, I think they recorded almost an inch. So it's pretty much all but contained. It's not out, but they pretty much got a containment line around it. So that's a good thing. So we appreciate all the prayers and the support that's come out for us here as well as the community here. So, well, John, how are things going down there with you?
Well, I'm abundantly blessed. It is a tough day, but just like we talked about a week ago when we talked about a year from the time my dad died, we're to remember those that passed, but we're not to mourn after a period of time. And I think we just have to make sure that we never forget. We just, you know, we don't want to be bound in sorrow all the time. We want to move forward. That's what he would want us to do. So I'm grateful that the Lord saw fit to give us a prophet and a priest to teach us for all those years. And I myself was blessed even more to have him as a father. And I'm grateful that I had that opportunity. Of course, there's things you wish you would have done differently. Spent more time, learned more, things like that, but you just never know. So let that be a lesson to all of us. Cherish the time you got with your loved ones because you don't know how long you got it.
Amen. Amen. Jason, how are things with you this rainy morning?
Oh, they're going with raining down here. Been raining cats and dogs. We've had a lot of power outages, flash flood warnings, and actually some flash floods and some mudslides as of yesterday. So, I don't know. It's just, you know, it's definitely, you can look around and you can see the signs of the times. And, you know, you heard the roar of thunder all night long last night. And you look at this last year and you can just see that the Day of the Lord events are on us, with everything from these power outages out in the east and the storms that are killing people left and right, going from droughts to floods and, you know, fire all across the country. It's you know, definitely signs of the times. And I think the Lord's starting to get some people's attention, and hopefully in a good way.
I hope so.
Yeah, the ironic thing is that these people whose homes made it through the fires, they had insurance for fire, but they don't have insurance for flood, and now they may get flood and get flooded out. And there's a federal flood insurance program, of course, but it's expensive, and it takes some time before you can even get on that registry. And and even once you're on it, it's 6 months before the insurance kicks in once you're established it. So you'd be much better off praying to God for protection.
Amen. Amen. We've sure seen it here. You know, the nation burning up. You know, last year it was Texas. Well, this year Texas got rain. Several years it's been California. Heard in the briefing this morning, California's starting to heat back up, and they're having issues. And they're starting to have some more fires. Montana has a huge fire complex burning. And like Jason said, if it's not the fire, it's the storms that are coming in. I heard something last week. I've kind of been away from everything for about a week, but was there some type of windstorm or something that came through D.C.? Anybody hear anything
about
that?
Yeah, it just wiped out power for millions of people. And
Midwest and the East.
A lot of death.
Yeah, they had a name for it, too, and I was going to look it up, but I haven't had a chance. I forget. Do you remember what the name was? That storm was a rare storm.
And they named...
Did I see what the name of that was?
I mean, they usually name hurricanes, but...
No, it wasn't like a name, a person's name. It was a type of storm that doesn't happen very often. I can't remember what it was. I wish I'd have to find it.
I just heard a little something about that they'd had this huge wind and type of storm, and yeah, that there had been deaths, and it's never ending. It just continues on.
Yeah, I called Jim McCanny and asked him about that, and it was kind of funny because I called him and asked him, you know, what do you make of that storm? He's like, I don't know what to make of it. What do you make of it? he said, I was watching it. He said, it's the strangest thing. He said, nobody's talking about it, but he said, that thing came out of nowhere. He said, it just appeared in D.C., and he said you could watch the weather maps and watch the radar and watch everything. And up until the time that that storm formed, he said there was no signs of that storm coming. And he said all the news weather websites that that he uses, he said they were all of a sudden immediately down. And he said that their websites were completely gone. And he said when they came back up, nobody mentioned anything about the how this storm just appeared. And he said there's been a few people that have asked the question, but very few. And he said that this thing was just so strange, he didn't know what to make of it because, I mean, it was there just out of nowhere. They didn't have any time to prepare for it. They didn't have any signs that it was coming. And usually on a storm of that magnitude, you can see it coming for a long time. And you can see it building. And with this one, it was just, boom, it was there.
Wow.
Amazing.
All right, Kyle. Good morning.
Good morning.
Got your Bible open. I know you're wanting, you got something there to
I
share.
I do,
with
but,
us.
You know.
It may be off subject, but that's okay. We can shift gears and make a 90-degree turn here.
I had a scripture on my mind this morning, and it's been popped up in my mind for the last year, and it's the Apostle Paul talking in Philippians, and it's rather long, but I won't read all of it. But anyway, I'll just start in verse 10, maybe go through verse 16. It says that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, or should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I'll stop there. That's really the verse that popped up, because the Apostle Paul's talking to Philippians here, and evidently he wasn't around much. You know, and he's exhorting them and edifying them, and he's basically telling them to work out their own salvation. You know, they have been obedient, but he's saying, obey. You know, you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. And I feel like, even though Pastor Peters didn't say that to us, you know, I feel obligated that that's how we should behave and act. And now I'll read on, and there's a verse down here I really want to get to. It says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So there Paul is telling these Philippians, you obey even more after I'm gone, so that I don't, you know, that my work isn't in vain, that I haven't run in vain. And I know that isn't just laid upon us four. It's laid upon all those in the last 33 years that the pastor preached to. And it ain't up to me, this job of making his life not be in vain, but I want to be part of it. You know, and then it goes on and it says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. And for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served me in the gospel. Anyway, I just, that's the verses that was on my mind this morning, you know. And like John said, you know, we're not supposed to mourn forever, but we're supposed to remember. And it's, you know, I mean, he wasn't my dad like he was Jason's and John's, you know, even though he wasn't their literal dad. He was like a dad to them, you know. And he was probably more like a dad even to Richard, because Richard was out here a lot more. But he was the closest thing to my dad, you know, that I've ever seen, never had. And, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I want to make my dad proud, just like my father in heaven. I want my dad, my physical dad, who none of you have ever known, but I still live according to I want to make him proud. And I feel the same way about Peter. You know, I want, there's a day of Christ coming, you know, and I want his crowns that he's going to receive, and he's going to receive a lot of them, because Amen. A lot of people obey the gospel because of that man.
That's right.
I want to be a part of that crown, you know, and I want to make him proud.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. That was great.
Excellent. Very apt.
Couldn't agree more. Well, I got a praise report. You guys there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, John, go ahead. You've got a praise report? Yeah, share that with us.
All right. It got too quiet there all of a sudden. Anyways, I got a call on Thursday night from a man in Missouri named John, and been on the ministry for years, humble man, lives on his farm, tries to keep quiet, just reads his Bible and meditates and loves the Lord. And he called me in a frantic mode. I missed his call and said that the SWAT team had just come in on him and shot tear gas through his windows and arrested him and put him in handcuffs for 6 hours. And so as soon as I got the message, I called him back and wasn't able to get him, and I called him again, still couldn't get him. Well, later that evening, he called me and told me what had happened, and and I said, well, did you do anything? And he said, no. He said, the only thing I've been doing is speaking up against the local sheriff because he's a queer, and I've been promoting the guy who's a godly man that's running against him. You know, although he's been somewhat anti-government his whole life, but anyways. So we had some prayer, and Kyle was here with me, and my two boys. Well, what I didn't tell you was this man is the one who drew the name of one of my sons to pray for him daily, and he's done it faithfully, and I'm grateful. And he's even offered to pray for my other son, and I'm grateful for that. But, so I brought those two boys down here with Kyle and myself, and we had some powerful prayer. Well, I'm happy to report that I got a call yesterday, and he says, he was in tears. He was so happy. He says, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your prayers. He says, hey, everything's changed. They're falling all over themselves backwards. They send people out here changing all my windows and all my shades and all my screens and cleaning the house and you know, airing it out, and everything, you know, just totally changed. And what we had prayed was that God would give him authority over his enemies, and that's exactly what happened. And, I mean, he was just tears in his eyes. He was so happy and so grateful that there was actually, you know, men and boys that would humble themselves and pray for this man. And I mean, this is how humble he is. He said they ripped my shirt. It was only a day old. And they said, well, we'll buy you a shirt. So they bought him a shirt. And he said, well, you can wear it a day if you want. So that, you know, we'll make it square. But that's the kind of man he is, you know. So I just, you know. How awesome is it to serve a God like that?
That's right. And you know, it used to be, the whole land used to be like that. I think back when, you know, in the earlier days of just in this nation, when Christian men did have authority over the enemies of God, and the enemies of God stayed in the closet if they were there at all. And
yeah, exactly.
Those that said that they didn't believe in God didn't say it out loud if that's how they felt. And you know, the sheriff in the land had a Bible on his desk. And, you know, he did his job not only according to the laws, you know, that were in that county, but according to the Word of God as well. You know, there was a day that it was that way. You know, that...
Yeah, well, let that Supreme Court know that, too, because that day's coming.
Amen. It is. It is coming back.
And, you know, and as I kept talking to him, and I said, well, what do you think happened? And he says, well, there's an old boy down the road here who just hates me because he thinks he's homosexual or something. But anyways, as he was speaking out against this, this guy had spoke to the sheriff and told him that he thought he had a meth lab. So on the one witness, you know, not even a credible witness, going to the sheriff, they brought in an entire SWAT team with AR-15s or M-16s or whatever it was, tear gassed it. And praise God, he protected him, because I'm not so sure that I wouldn't be shooting back. But anyways, and in fact, what had happened was about 5 miles away, the same kind of thing happened, and that old boy did try to fight back, and they killed him. So, you know, and I bet you anything, there was nothing to the case, but you know that they planted something there versus making a mistake and admitting it, you know. So anyways, we had some prayer for that old boy who bore false witness against a Christian brother, and he's going to have tenfold what he wanted for his for this man. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
So, well, I'm sitting up here in probably one of the most beautiful places in Colorado, right about... even with the clouds, looking over a lake at a buddy of mine's place, sitting on the balcony in quiet, peaceful glass lake with clouds in the mountains. I'm telling you what, this is God's country right here.
Coffee seems to taste a little better there too, doesn't it?
It does. Kyle spent a few days with me up here this week, and yeah, you know what? We almost forgot about one of the most important things we did this week. We, couple of friends of mine that I've been telling you about for years, they finally got them to believe and be baptized. So Kyle and I baptized two good friends of ours.
Yep, on what the world calls Independence Day, they became
Independence
they became
Day,
under
yep.
a different jurisdiction. They became free in Christ, actually. You know, that's
at the lake, right off the dock where he proposed to his wife. So that was sentimental to him, and it was sentimental to us, and we know that the angels rejoice that even one that repents and turns to Christ, and
amen.
We're grateful.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that.
Yep, it's been a blessed week, you know.
Yep.
It's a tough week going through the remembrance, and Richard, too. Richard had a mother that passed away here on, I believe it was Tuesday, and a year ago. But you know, you get things like that, positive things in your life, and the story of this man in Missouri and how God answered prayer, I mean, instantly, to the T of what we prayed, and you know, what an awesome God.
Amen. You know, I'm reminded, I remember the pastor talking one time about someone coming up to him and trying to invoke more sorrow than we should have after a while, you know, talking about how, you know, oh, I'm sure you're just devastated about this loss and that loss. And I remember the pastor, he talked about it several times, but he said, and it was, I think, old Joe down there that had come to him. And the reply that the pastor gave was something like, oh, no, Joe, don't you know that 10 out of 10 people die? But the difference is, what happens then?
Exactly.
And we can rejoice, you know, that our pastor was right, that he did what he was supposed to do, and that he did teach and leave that legacy, like Kyle read about that Paul was writing, and it was not just him, but we all really are I guess a stone in that crown, a gem in that crown of glory that he gets to wear.
It is. We all have, you know, from the days of Christ, we all have our fathers in the faith, pretty much, what you can term them. And, you know, Paul had, you know, all these churches that he was the father in the faith of, you know. And they were, you know, they were something in his run, in his crown, you know. I mean, there's no getting around it. You know?
Well, Jason, how's the recovery and all that going down there in La Porte? We still get phone calls here in the office that, you know, how's the fire down there, and how are, you know, you guys there in La Porte and the church and all that?
Yeah, it's doing well. You know, they finally opened Sunday afternoon. They opened Rift Canyon up to the public, where you can go up there now. But it's you know, as you drive around, you can tell that the only thing that was protecting some of these houses was the Lord. There's nothing else that was protecting them. It would have been impossible to. And you know, there's, for the people that I've met so far, the people that you know, that their houses were saved were the ones that were praying.
Have you got a chance to drive up 14 yet or anything?
Yeah, I did.
So you've seen a lot of it?
Yeah, it was sure burned an awful lot, that's for sure.
And
did you drive up Rift Canyon yet, Jason?
What's that?
Did you drive up Rift Canyon yet?
No, I haven't.
So now there's vulnerability for mudslides and stuff because there's, the timber's gone?
Right. Yeah, and they had a mudslide yesterday on 14 and had to shut it down. I don't know how long or to what extent, but it was shut down for at least a couple hours yesterday.
Yeah, I remember when I lived up there, we had that rock slide that shut it down for pretty near a month. And it was because of heavy rains and loosened up the ground, and then just huge boulders the size of the cars came down and crushed the highway and blocked part of the river. And it was quite a mess.
Yeah, when that happens, there's not a lot, you can do, because you just don't have the room to work on it.
Yeah, changes a 20-minute drive to town to an hour drive to town.
Yeah, exactly. But other than that, it's going well. I mean, they, you know, doing what they can. They're ahead of schedule as far as getting power back to people. For the most part, power's still been on and off all the way around here. It's been pretty sketchy. But as of yesterday, you know, there's a lot of people that they were telling them that it was going to be another month to 2 months before they could have power back to their house. And, you know, they had it earlier in the week, so... they're very thankful for that, trying to, you know, get the power back on, get their houses cleaned out so that they can move back in. And it seems like it's going well.
That's good. I had the opportunity to talk to our friend, Bob the Builder. My children got a kick out of, you know, out of meeting Bob the Builder, because they've got, you know, the children know Bob the Builder on TV, and we know the real Bob the Builder, and so we've had a chance to talk with him last week, and they were, it was a week ago now, coming on 10 days when I first talked to him about this, and he lives right up there, right on Rift Canyon Road, right in the heart of it, and I guess his place was virtually untouched. Right there in the middle of it, he said a little bit of fire came up on one little edge of it, and that was it.
Yeah, he pretty much left thinking that there was going to be nothing left, though. So.
Yeah.
Praise God. We were praying for Bob. Bob's got a little ways to go in his walk, but he's good stock, and I still believe that the Lord's going to call him here one of these days, and we'll keep working on it, huh, Jason?
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. Amen. He's I certainly call him friend. You know, we've known him for years and years, and he's yeah, he is, like you said, he's good stock. He
quite a carpenter.
He is quite a carpenter. And so, you know, and I think Jason mentioned earlier, you know, these fires and these floods, and we go, you know, to go from fires to floods in 24 hours in the same area is just, you know, we hope, you know, remnant can see, the remnant can see that these are Day of the Lord events. And I know you've heard that spoken here before, but they just continue to come. And so, well, they don't come to your town, well, just wait, because next week they might. You know, last year, Bastrop, Texas, and you know, was just burning up. Texas had all these massive fires. It was just a year or two before California. You know, this fire that we had in Laramie, epic proportions, you know, right at 11,000 acres. I spoke with a man who's 82 years old. He's lived here all his life. He said that mountain has never burned. You know, they'd have a lightning strike or two, but it's never done like this. And, you know, we're seeing things that haven't been seen in the last two generations. I'm reminded of 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And I think that's just why he hasn't pulled the Sodom and Gomorrah destruction yet, is because he is patient. And he does love his remnant. He wants his remnant to repent and to turn from their sin. Now, they would not do that in Sodom and Gomorrah. They wouldn't. And so he destroyed them. And, you know, but he brings these signs for his people to see, and to give them the opportunity to see that it is him that does it.
Yeah, and one of the ways it'll hit every town out there eventually is if you watch, like I watch the Weather Channel a lot of mornings or late evenings, and there's a famine coming. You have crops being destroyed from heat and all kinds of stuff out there that, you know, you might not have the fires or the floods or the tornadoes hit your town, but when famine comes in the land, it will affect every town. You know, and there's, you know, I can see one coming. I know Jason.
Yeah, I can too.
Yeah, Jason's been talking about this for a long time, and it's coming.
You know,
it is.
Oh yeah.
Yes. You know, the pastor talked about that, and his friend, Plowboy Paul, you know, that we had on some of the scriptures from America. I spoke with him, and he's there in the Midwest, and he shared that exact sentiment. It's been about 10 days since I spoke to him, because last week is just a blur, but he shared that exact same thing. He said the crops, the corn and the beans in the Midwest, he said they are just literally just drying up and burning in the field. He said all over. And you see it, you don't see it on the news, you don't see it on any of the reports, but it's happening. Are you seeing that as well, Jason, and there in the Midwest? And
yeah, I'm right here where, you know, the people that got water, their crops are doing good. But all across, it's really strange because there's places across this country where, you know, they used to have a saying knee high by 4th of July when they're talking about the corn. There's places that it was on the 4th of July that it was shoulder height. And then there's places in this country that it's ankle height. So the cycles are all screwed up. And, you know, when that happens, a lot of times they don't get any crops at all. You know, even if it's ahead of schedule at one point in time, that doesn't mean that it's going to be where it should be. And especially with this record heat, I mean, we're going on, you know, 3 weeks of record-breaking heat across this country. 118, 119 degrees in Kansas, Nebraska, breaking records. I mean, just all over the place. And
I got a scripture. This is scripture's been on my mind a lot lately, but it's Joel 1, and it's 14 through 20. And I'll read it. And the title is, the subtitle is Starvation and Drought. Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord, alas, for the day of the Lord is near, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty. Has not food been cut off before your eyes, gladness and joy from the house of our God? The seeds shrivel under their clods. The storehouses are desolate. The barns are torn down, for the grain is dried up. How the beasts groan, the herds of cattle wander aimlessly, because there is no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep suffer. To you, O Lord, I cry, for fire has devoured the pastures and wilderness, and a flame has burned up all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant for you, for the water brooks are dried up, and fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. That's pretty powerful scripture.
Well, what scripture was that?
That's Joel 1, 14 through 20.
That famine is coming.
Yep.
You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, the Old Testament stories are given for our admonition, for our learning. And you can look and see at the times that there was famine in the land. And there's nothing new under the sun. What was will come again. And you know, there were some that made it through and there were some that did not.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys saw, but there's a man in Phoenix, Arizona, been fighting a battle with the city there for several years now, and apparently they're throwing him in jail for 60 days and fining him $12,000 for having church services in his home. The sad thing is that, I mean, he's got, it's not like he's got a house on a busy street or anything. The guy's got 5 acres, built a building out back just because they said he couldn't have worship services in his house because the house is not a dwelling for a home service. So he built a building and he followed all the commercial code to put a commercial building, and he's only got friends and family coming, 15 to 20 people, and they're throwing him in jail, I guess starting here in a couple days for 60 days. But you know darn well if he was having poker services or or strip club or porn movies or something, wouldn't care, you know?
Yeah, if he was having the national gay and lesbian, transsexual, and all sexual pervert group meeting once a week, you know, they'd advertise for him in the newspaper for free.
Yep.
Well, wake up, people. Wake up. You wonder why.
But I got to stand with him if he's, you know, he's willing to, he's not backing down, so we need to keep a man like that in his prayers. Sounds like something our pastor would do.
Amen.
Where is that at?
Phoenix, Arizona.
Well, the ministry continues on here. You know, we came back. We've got two people specifically that I spoke to this week that are still, you know, contemplating and seeking baptism. Spoke with one lady yesterday, and we talked, and let's see if I can find over where we were talking about. But she had some questions, and that's a good thing. You know, she mentioned that, you know, she didn't really know what happened. She was raised Catholic, and then all of a sudden, she just had an urge to be reading the Bible, and as she was reading it, it just started coming alive to her. She started seeing that, you know, the things she was hearing at church were not the things that she was reading in the Bible. And I explained to her that is, you know, that is certainly the Holy Spirit. You know, that calls us. Now, whether we answer the call or not is up to us. And, you know, but she went on and just, you know, well, what about this? What about these people? And what about this? And all these different things. And finally I asked her, I said, well, you haven't been baptized then, you know, and this was earlier in the conversation. And she said, well, just in the Catholic Church. I said, so you have to realize you have not, this is not a question, you have not been properly baptized. And I said, one of the gifts that you get, one of the promises, one of the needs from baptism is that you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's according to Acts 2:38. And so I read her. She also had a question, you know, well, I think I'm, you know, 1/8 of 1/4, you know, this other, whether Indian or whatever, you know. And I explained to her that, and I think it was proper, that, you know, the bottom line is my sheep hear my voice. By their fruits you shall know them. You know, if his blood can cleanse our sin, his blood can certainly cleanse our blood. I think our pastor taught on that. and it does. But I read to her in Timothy 1, starting in 4, or starting in 3. I said, "And as I urge you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines." That was 1. 2, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. And we had a good conversation about who Jesus Christ came to, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and who they were all the way back to Abram, and how they're still here at, in the very end, in Revelation 22, there's still those 12 fruits, and that it is to those people, but, you know, and she went on and on about, you know, well, what about these people, and what about this, and what about this, and finally I had to tell her that it says here, in not so much the myths and endless genealogies, but the mere speculation. And, you know, I think I've come to realize that until his remnant are baptized and receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, what understanding they have out of this word, for the most part, is just what it says here. It's mere speculation. It's just, I think this, and what about that? And there's no grounding in truth. There's no understanding. It's just speculation. Until, you know, you can get into that proper kingdom. You know, when you're in the outside looking in, all you can do is speculate. All you can do is wonder and think.
But once and you might be right once in a while.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you'll get revelation. And you'll, you know, what's that, even the blind squirrel finds an acorn every now and then or something like that, or hog or something. And I just
even the blind squirrel gets a nut once in a while.
Yeah, there you go. But I told her that. And I said, you know, you have questions. And you want to know the answers. But until you enter in, you're not going to get that understanding. And I think that ties in with, that's why Christ spoke in parables. You know, there were some he wanted to understand what he was saying, and there were some flat out he didn't. He says that's why he taught in parables. He said, because if I said it plainly, some of these people would repent and be saved.
Yeah.
And he did not want that to happen.
Well, there's things hidden too that'll be revealed in the proper time, you know. I think there's stuff in the, there's verses in the Bible that are there, and they've been there forever. But in the last days, they'll be revealed. And I think one of those is, like in the last couple chapters of Daniel, I was reading, I've done a lot of Bible reading up here in this beautiful God's country place that the Lord's blessed me with here this week. And I really believe that, like you say, you won't see those. Those secrets will not be revealed to you unless you do receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, people say, well, I had a Holy Spirit experience. Well, no, you didn't, unless you went down in the water and repented of your sin, changed your life, were born again, got your name in the Lamb's Book of Life.
And you, absolutely. You know, and those things that are revealed also are revealed with practice, right? The more you read the Word, the more time you spend in it, the more it's revealed to you. The better you get, the more understanding that you have. You know, I think of Bob the Builder again. You know, Bob's a great carpenter. You know, you want him to frame up a wall? I mean, he can, you know, you show him what you want, he'll drop his measuring tape, mark off some measurements, go over to the saw and grab the 2x4s, and he pops that thing together, stands it up, slides it in, sets it up, perfect. But he's had lots of practice. That's what he does all the time. And so those little tricks, he's learned the tricks of the trade and how to do it efficiently, and he knows what to do and what to expect out of, you know, framing a wall. And
well, exercise, the Bible says that's how you get to where you can discern good from evil.
Right.
You know, I mean, you have to do it. Now, knowledge puff it up if it doesn't have the Spirit with it.
Right.
You know? I mean, you can read the Bible, you know, without getting baptized, and you'll get knowledge. Oh, you'll get a lot of knowledge.
And it puffs
you up. You know, without the Spirit, you know, that's all it'll do for you. You know, you'll know a lot of things. You know, and you might be a great scholar even, you know, but you're not gonna be able to discern good from evil. Yep. And that comes from the Spirit. And that's by exercising in the Word of God.
Amen. Discipline yourself for the purpose of God.
It becomes addicting, too, after a while.
I'm sorry, John?
It becomes addicting, too, after a while.
Oh, yeah.
The Bible.
You become a truth junkie. You get hooked.
Yeah.
Isn't that what the pastor used to say? And then you just got to have more, and you got to have more, and then that's not enough. And pretty soon you're partaking of this, you know, not only once a day but twice a day, and then pretty soon you're talking about it to your friends, and and it's a great fix. It truly is. It truly
well,
is.
I know,
a great fix.
Jason and I were fortunate enough to have a furniture business that. Pastor's son Monty started many years ago, and we actually, by the grace of God, built it up into a much bigger venture than what it was when Monty had it. But here about, I don't know, how long ago was that now, Jason? About 4 years ago?
Yeah, about
4 years ago.
Five.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So it was about 4 years ago, I believe. Maybe five. Things just started slowing down, and Jason was doing it as a full-time job. I have a job that the Lord provides for me, and I was still doing it at weekends and nights, but making sure. I mean, Jason and I used to leave on a Thursday night. I'd work 4:10s, jump in the truck, and Richard came several times. And but anyways, we drive 2,000, 2,500, 3,000 miles and make it home in time for church on Sunday morning. But, you know, no matter what the sacrifice was, we made sure that we did everything in our power to make it back to church on time. But anyways, where I was going with that was the business just started slowing down and fading out, and couldn't really figure out what was going on. And but, you know, held on to Romans 8:28, that the Lord work all things for good for those who love Him and abide in Him and called by His purpose. And I don't know, I'd like to think it was the Holy Spirit, and I think it was the Holy Spirit. And I said, what about I talked to Dad, and I said, Dad, what about Jason? Helping in the ministry, you know, it's growing, and you need people you can count on, and Jason is his family, and we can count on him. And
amen.
And he said, yeah. He said, that's a great idea. So, and what happened was God weeded out those that shouldn't be here, and now He's trimmed the vine, even in the leadership of this ministry, to the ones that He wants there. So sometimes when you look and think, wow, why is He cutting off this? And I'm sure Jason had wondered it sometimes too, because his income was being cut back. But God had a bigger purpose and a bigger plan for Jason and for the ministry.
Amen.
Of course, that was a squirrel thing where you kind of go off to another direction. But I can get away with that on Coffee with the Wranglers.
That's right. That's right. We let you get away with it, John. That's okay.
I know. I've been told I've been ADD, but I'm not so sure that's a bad thing in this world. I guess another thing Kyle and I were talking about up here in this God's country, we were up for a few days, was these older men who are on ministry right now, they're not going to be here forever, and we need to take the opportunity that we have right now to learn from men like Cal and men like David in Missouri, and men who've been around a lot of years, seen a lot of things. And, you know, I'm not sure exactly when it was when Cal was baptized, but it was later on in his years. And what a testimony for a man who been set in his ways for so many years and saw the light and knew he had to humble himself and be baptized for remission of sins. And I don't know, I admire a man like that. That's, you know, you hear so many people, it's too late for me, you know, I'm set in my ways and this and that. No, you're not. It's never too late. We were talking the other day, if you're in a wheelchair, we could lower you down in a wheelchair and bring you back up, you know. So don't ever think it's too late to be baptized for the remission of sins, but don't forget, you have to repent before you do and change your life.
Yeah, there is a time when it's too late.
There is a time coming. There
yeah,
is.
That's true.
You're dead.
That's right.
You're right. You're right. Well, while you still have breath in you, there's that time.
Amen. Amen. Well, Jason, can you give us a preview of what we're going to have at church tomorrow? We normally don't get one. I thought maybe today's a special day. We'd have a preview.
Today's not a special day.
Today's not a special day. So.
Live by coming to the Little Fort Church of Christ.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to. You just have to be there, folks. I tried. You know, I tried to get you a little preview of what we're going to have at church tomorrow. But we do invite you to church. Come to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and you can watch it on your iPod, on your iPhone, on your computer.
For free.
For free.
Can you imagine? It's like a grab bag, you know. I'm glad Jason doesn't tell us what it is because, you know, there's something about a grab bag when you go into a store, you know, it might say $5 and this bag's full of stuff. You know, and you don't know what's in it, you know, and you want to look. I mean, you do.
But you can't.
Because it's only $5. We're talking about free here. You know, you get a look in the grab bag tomorrow and it's free. You know, and I guarantee you it's going to be way better than what's in those brown paper bags at Safeway.
Yeah. So we do invite you. You know, join us. You've heard us say before that real men don't come to church. Well, you got some real men sitting around here. These real men that you're listening to today on Coffee with the Wranglers, they aren't perfect. None of us are. But I tell you what, we are forgiven. And even though we are nothing without Christ, we know that we are everything with Him. And we invite you to come to church with us tomorrow. We're all going to be there. That's our plan. And so the good Lord willing, we're sure going to be there. You can come 10 o'clock tomorrow morning at, again, scripturesforamerica.org. You can watch us. We'll have, starting at 10 o'clock, we'll have a good scriptural insight and study, a little kind of a Sunday school class. And we hope you'll join us for that. And then we'll have some, John will give a welcome. We'll have some music. We'll have a communion, and I guess it's my turn to step back in there. Kyle covered me last Sunday when I was up on the fire up at Laramie Peak. I appreciate that, Kyle, and my apologies for not being there. But we'll have a communion service, and then it's going to be like, I guarantee you, like opening up your Bible and just reading. Reading from some from the Old Testament and flipping over and reading some from the New Testament and then seeing how that ties back into another Old Testament story and then forward to where Jesus tells, that's what it's like. It's going to be words of wisdom, words of truth. It's going to be a Holy Spirit inspired sermon.
Exciting times we're living in, man.
It is. And if you don't believe me, tune in and find out.
And by the grace of God, we keep digging and we keep finding stuff that Pastor did years and years ago. A lot of people have never heard, never seen.
Yes.
And Lord willing, our plan is to put that together in pamphlets and books and CDs and whatever it is we can and offer it to the remnant. So stay tuned. Stay with us. And we do appreciate the remnant out there that allow us to do our job, to do what we were taught from our pastor for all these years. We say thank you.
Amen.
I remember a show, we've got a few minutes here, I remember a show Jason did, it's been months ago now, but him and a survivalist friend of his, you went to Jack's and you spent, how much money did you spend, like $50 a piece or $20?
$25.
$25 a piece, and, you know, they went separate ways and they bought stuff that they wanted to help survive and whatever's gonna come, you know. So it was a survivalist, you know, and you guys compared what you bought, you know, on your show or whatever, but I guarantee you, you know, every church service that we send out over the airs, there is some survivalist information that you're going to get out of it. You know, I mean, whether he's talking about America the Conquered or the Jezebel Surge, I mean, he always touches on something that will help you in the day that's coming.
Amen. But they didn't have those at Jack's.
No,
they don't have those at Jack's.
Maybe they'd carry them for us. You know, Kyle.
You know what? Someday they may.
They may. You know, Kyle, the thought occurred to me, what I pictured in my mind when you were saying that is every one of those sermons has a grab bag in it. Everyone has a little survival bag that's got a little something in it, that you can use that will help you in that day.
It's true.
It really will.
Amen.
It will. What a blessing. Well, guys, we're almost out of time. Appreciate everybody joining us here in the on the radio and also out there. We know the remnant's tuned in, and we know this broadcast goes all over. We know we've got people in South Africa that listen in, and people in Tasmania, south of Australia. Now, that's south when you're south of Australia. But we know we've got them down there as well as in South Carolina and Northern Virginia and everywhere else. And so, remnant out there, know that we here at Scriptures for America pray for you, that God's blessings will be upon you, that you'll prosper even as your soul prospers. As John said, we do thank you for allowing us to be here. And our prayers are with you. And again, we what more can we do but invite you to church tomorrow? You know, come worship Jesus Christ with us in truth and in spirit. Tune in and, you know, make a joyful noise to him when we have the music. And take a couple hours out of this busy world, of your busy week, and do that. Read his word with us. Listen to his word. Sing songs of joy and praise to him. Draw nearer to him. And that's how you do it. And if you'll do that, he will certainly draw nearer to you. It's just a certainty.
We continue to pray out there for the remnant, not only from these fires, but from these potential floods, that, Lord, that you would put a hedge of angels, a ring of fire, and a shield of light around those that belong to you. Protect them, their families, and their property. In Jesus' name, we thank you.
Amen. Men, we'll see you at church tomorrow. Thanks again.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
High. Ha!
Ha! Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more,
stay high. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off.